Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's run that devil out of town. Run him out of your circumstance. Run him out of your finances. Let's run him out of your house. Let's run him out of everything that is holding you back. Run him out of your territory. Run him out of the area of your influence. Push, push, push. Come on now, don't let that devil steal your joy. Don't let him stop your joy. Don't let him stop your praise. The Bible says that the strength comes from the joy of the Lord. So if you have joy, you have strength. It didn't say if you don't have opposition, because you're going to get opposition. Yeah, you're going to get opposition. More than one. And more than one time. You're going to get so much opposition, you're going to think, Lord, why'd I get saved? Because when I was not saved, I was walking with the devil. I was partying with the devil. But the moment I said yes to you, Jesus, it's like everything came against me. It's as though the enemy may come at you like a flood, he will raise a standard. Thank you, Lord. Well, that standard is Jesus. Hallelujah. But your standard, you have to understand, you have to know your standard. You have to know who you're yoked to. Well, it got quiet in here real quick. You have got to know who you're yoked up with. Do you know that you're yoked with Jesus Christ? Yes. Do you know him? Yes. Or are you just wondering if you are? Do you know you're really yoked with Jesus? Because if you're yoked with Jesus, that means you're right next to him. You're doing the work together with Jesus. You're not working against Jesus. You're working with and for Jesus. Amen. Who are you yoked with? Are you yoked with someone that is keeping you away from Jesus? Cut that sucker loose. Are you yoked with someone that's trying to keep you out of what God is telling you to do? Cut that joker loose. The problem is y'all have the scissors in your hands, but y'all don't want to cut. See, the devil starts pushing on me, and he starts telling me some lies, and he starts telling me this, and then the that's, and then the this, and then the that's. And it gets to the point where I get a little perturbed. I get a little bit upset, and I get a little bit mad. Not just the mad, but the mad. You know, where you just kind of stretch out the ad. You get mad. Someone in here is pulling on me to preach. Someone in here is pulling on me to get to something that they need to be unlocked and opened up. But I got to tell you something. But before you can get your blessing, you've got to get an understanding of who the one is blessing you. That blessing is Jesus. Have you ever been so tired? See, we started something on Sunday. Have you ever been tired? What do you do when you're tired? What? You do what? Rest? Sleep? Have you ever tried to sleep when your mind is going like 100 miles an hour and you just can't sleep? Did I turn off the light in the backyard? I wonder if I put the dogs in the room. Just, I wonder if the windows are up because it might rain. I wonder if I made the deposit like I was supposed to make before I wrote the check because I didn't have enough money in to cover the checks that I wrote for the groceries. But so if I didn't put the right money in, then I wasn't just getting. I know it's 3 a.m, but God, you got to help me. He said, would you, son, will you go to sleep? Go to sleep. You're, know, some of y'all just looking at me like, Pastor, where you going with this? Have you ever been tired? I'm tired. I can't do it no more. Y'all get real gospel when y'all are mad. Y'all get real Holy Ghost filled gospel. Y'all start, oh, Jesus. It's some sort of aerobics that y'all do when you know the church move. The hand doesn't go like this no more, it goes backwards. The walk kind of changes just a little bit. You don't walk straight, you kind of walk sideways. And then you just kind of cock your head, just, Lord! You can't even put words to what you gotta pray. When you're tired, you're like, you just don't know what to say. And your mind is like everywhere. Your mind is like, now I know I got bills that are due. And the month has already ran out. Not only did the month run out, so did the money. Then you happen to go look in the refrigerators. You open that door, you might just shut it. No, and you already know there's nothing in there. You already know. You've already eaten the Pop-Tarts the first day I came home from the grocery store. You ate all the chips. You know, you get your late night snacks that you eat the moment you're taking it from the car, from the grocery store to the table. So when it comes time for you to get your snack later on throughout the week, you're looking for those Pop-Tarts that you ate before you even put them up in the cupboard. You know what I'm talking about. Because you have a tendency, when you're tired, you want some food. This is some deep prophetic stuff right here. Y'all been taking some notes. Pastor, you going to preach us about Pop-Tarts? I want to talk to you about some Pop-Tarts, all right. Some things get made for you. But in order for it to get nice and gooey and chewy for you, it's got to be put in something between two places that make it hot. I realized when I was putting in my Pop-Tart, Miss Jackie, did the Pop-Tart couldn't move. You know why it couldn't move? Because when you push that lever down, there's two instruments that come in and close it so tight that it doesn't allow it to move when the heat gets turned on. I'm talking to you about some Pop-Tarts. I don't care if it's the s'mores. I don't care if it's the strawberries with the sprinkles. I don't care what kind you want. I don't care if it's the generic kind. You put it in there to get the inside nice and gooey. It can't move. The only thing about the Pop-Tart is when you put it in the toaster, the timer goes off and it releases in the process. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, some of y'all are like, I don't eat Pop-Tarts. What are you talking about Pop-Tarts? When you put a turkey in the oven, it has its thermometer already inside of the breastices of the turkey. But when it's done, it now pops out when it's done. Don't you know there's indicators on when the thing is done? When it's finished, there's an indicator and then there's a timer. What I'm trying to tell you, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. You may have been through a season, my God. And in this season, you get buffeted one way. Hey, watch it now. You get hit another way. Now you're pushing me too far. Now you're pushing me back. Now you're pushing me away from what God has called me to do. But something inside of you says, I will press on. towards the mark and the prize of the high calling. And you won't quit, nor will you back away, nor will you be still. You will continue to press on. But if you quit in the midst of your process, you will burn up. Mm-hmm. Because there's a time to release. But if you want to hold on to the process, you'll burn. See, some people that know how I like to eat my food, I like some things a little crispy, a little burnt. I tried that one time with my Pop-Tart. Well, let me tell you, it didn't come out nice and gooey and chewy. It came out nice and charred and black. Oh, I got revelation. The Lord said, he said it like this. He said, son, you want a process that I know the timing for your release, but you're so used to what you're going through, it's become second nature to you to always be in the fire. Mm-hmm. y'all missed it? Some of y'all did, because y'all like, it's okay. We had an aroma, and revelation of the aroma was coffee tonight. Means wake up, okay? And then someone smelled coffee, and that means that pastor's going to have coffee and cookies afterwards. So it was good revelation. But he said, if you go through your process so much that you think it's your nature to always be in the fire, that's not the fire that God put you in. Sometimes it's the things you allow yourself to get put into. I'm going to stand over here because I'm going to preach from behind my pulpit. Some of y'all just make decisions you shouldn't have made. Some of y'all, oh Lord. I thought I had some armor bearers, but. Look, let me tell you. Some of the things that we have done in the course of our growing in God, we made based upon our carnality. To be carnal doesn't mean to be fleshy. It just means to make decisions based upon emotions. Oh, I don't feel the devil come in here real strong. It's called a religious spirit. I'm going to faith it till I make it. You can go broke. You'll go broke. So what you talking about? It's called using your senses that God has given you and called knowledge and wisdom. When you can be balanced in the both, you can see that you won't put yourself back into the fire that he didn't cause you to go into. See, if you just start to make heed to the changes of the past, you can grow in the area of your future. Say it with me, this too shall pass. My timer has gone off. My process is done. Because I'm tired. When you're tired of being tired, what do? You call a timeout. A timeout. And you know it's okay to call a timeout. Haven't y'all been watching the Spurs lately? Huh? See, the Spurs. Look at here. We just don't get the kind of respect San Antonio deserves. Mm-hmm. You notice how the reporters don't even want to really interview Coach Popovich. I wouldn't either, but that boy's a little. Whoo! I tell you what. If you never respect knowledge and wisdom that has been given to you, you'll always be beaten by it. Oh, that's good. That was good. That's good. I told him I'd run this devil out of Dodge. Getting pushed. Why are you pushing me away? The Lord said, aren't you tired? Yeah, I'm tired. Tired of being tired and tired of fighting. He says, take a time out. What you talking about, Willis?
I can take a times out. Time out. He says, I did it. Hold up now. That message came on Sunday and I wasn't feeling good and I just put it out there and now it's turning into a series. What you mean you rested? You rested. Go to Genesis. Go to Genesis. Y'all know where it's at. If y'all don't know where it's at, it's the first book of the Bible. And then go to chapter 2. Verse 1. Watch this. What do you do when you're tired? Call a timeout. Take a timeout. Take a timeout. Chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were, say, completed. And all their host. By the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done. And he what? Rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Did the earth, like, stop moving on its axis when God rested? Did the fish stop swimming in the ocean? Did the birds stop flying in the air? Did the clouds quit moving? Did we lose, you know, time because God rested? Well, in other words, his creation didn't lose anything when God rested. Why is it that we have a hard time taking a time out and we're afraid that if we don't take a time out, no, if we take a time out, I should say, things are just going to go wrong. Because no one can do what I can do. It's okay. When God rested, the earth was still formed. Everything was fine. Everything was still in order. We need to learn to take a time out. You know that? There ain't nothing wrong with it. You know, we take some take vacations. I think it's in the dictionary. Vacation. I think it's a real word. I think it means to go and get away. Take a time out. But usually, what do you say after you come back from your vacation? You need a what? Another one from your vacation. What? A vacation from a vacation? Because your vacation had too many things that you had to organize, orchestrate, get kids ready, get them out the bed, get them in the car, get them to the park, get them to where you're going, have to go eat, have to stop, make sure they went to, you know, the potty, then get back in the car, and you can wait in a long line, especially if you go to Orlando, Florida, and you wait in those long lines, you got mosquitoes about that big all over you, and it's hot and it's sweaty, you lose about 30 pounds just standing there, your clothes are all wrinkled, and you get to the hotel, or you don't even take a shower, you're just so tired, and then you got to do it all over again. Yeah, I can see why we need to have a vacation from our vacation. But it's okay to take a time out. But it's not okay to take a lot of timeouts. Could someone know where I'm going? I just believe me and God need to have spent some time alone. And my own relationship with Daddy. And I'm going to be alone. Get acquainted with God. And I'll be back. You can either call yourself a liar then or when you come back. Because usually what happens when you're going to take a time out, it ain't God to get you away from the house of God. Let me take it back to the gospel days. He said, I was glad when they said, we get to go to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said we could. I'm going to get back behind my pulpit. But what is happening to society today? Watch this. Yeah, I think everybody in here is saved, right? I think everybody in here is saved. What y'all doing in here? Those that are lost, would you please stand up? Those that don't know Jesus, will you please stand up? Those that have never heard the gospel, will you please rise? So church has become a church for the church. Yeah, I might as well just put my notes away because we're not even in the direction I was going. But how can we see some unsafe folk coming to church? Let's put it this way. Just look around. Just look a little bit. I got a mixture of cultures, mixture of ranges of ages. But everything that is in common is y'all are saved. Okay. Can someone, if I ask you a question, and be very, very honest with me, please. I'm going to make a point with this, please. Two people I'm going to ask, because I'm not pointing anybody out, just ask two individuals. Okay. Miracle, and be very honest with me, and Joseph, be very honest with me. Does church entice you to come? Honestly, be honest. Okay, mama, she's going to be honest, mama. Honestly. Is church like, I can't wait to get to church?
Not every week.
Joseph, can you stand up so they can hear you? Honestly. Sometimes. Good. Okay. Sometimes. Will you be honest with me? No, never mind. You always want to be in church?
I do.
Do you always want to be in church? You always want to be in church. Okay. Do you understand that? Some yes, some no. Same kind, different generation gaps. But here's the thing. There is a generation of young people that don't want to go to church because we're trying to make it the same like the old church. Do you know what I mean? And they're tired of, I guess it does kind of. The generation, this is going to get kind of, you might as well just pick up your feet and love me. Just love me, okay? Just love me. And I love you regardless. Children of this age, your 20s and 25-year-olds, if you would, maybe even to the early 30s, maybe. Do you know what they're tired of, church? They're tired of the hypocrisy. Because they see and then as soon as they get outside with their parents, you blinkety blink, 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 and blank. You should have sat still and should have taken notes. Blank, 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 blank. Now watch. Hey. Get back over here. Y'all are some funny people. I love it. Now watch. And it's the ones up here. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's all for y'all. It's not y'all. It's not moms and dads. It's the pastors. You know what I'm talking about? Because they're preaching this. You in sin, and the only way you get into heaven is you repent. Devil, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. You know how many people left church because of that hypocrisy here? So you have a whole generation that is tired of church, and they're so tired of dealing with the same stuff, they're looking for other ways to get out of it. Don't you think God already knew about this generation that was coming? How is he going to get us, the church folk, to reach out to that generation? And guess what we're going to do first? This generation, and as much as we want to deny it, we're going to judge. Boom. Quick. That's what they were used to seeing all along growing up. Here's the other thing. Most of that generation is tired of seeing families get destroyed because of church. Families are more destroyed because of people in ministry because they spend too much time in ministry. That generation is tired. Tired. How do we reach a generation like that? A generation, watch this. How many of you, can I say, folks, in about the wisdom ages? That was cool. I was going to go right there. The wisdom ages, when we didn't have remote controls for the TV, some of the children, like in our youngster ages, were the remote controls. You know what I'm talking about? Yes. Marty! Yeah, Dad? Come change the channel. I'm in the backyard. Come here. Yeah, Daddy? Change the channel? Adjust the antenna. Go get the foil. What's this? Okay, Daddy, I'm gonna go back and play. Mijo, yeah, Dad. Yeah, Daddy. Give me some water. Now, by this time, hey, Daddy. And then you have to wait. Daddy, they're waiting for him. We're playing hide and go seek outside. Well, they ain't going to find you in here. Okay, Daddy, can I go outside? Yeah, you can go play now. Wait, mijo, change the channel again. Do some of y'all remember that, or is it just me? Oh, okay. So we remember that, right? And we had to go and take care of some things for our folks out of love and love and a lot of love. A lot of love. Woo, a lot of love. Now, we had a generation that said, hey. I'm going to create something so I don't have to stop playing my G.I. Joe outside with my army men. There's got to be a way to change the channel. Yeah. So what's happening? A generation that is getting tired of being running around like crazy started using wisdom and ingenuity and started creating things that made life a little bit easier. Now, we had a change of televisions. We had a change of so many things in our household that we were able to press a button and things were changing. You've seen it. We went through that era where we had to have that. Dang, I misdialed. You got to hang up and start all over again. The rotary phone. So then when we got the touch tone phone, watch it now. And y'all showed how quick y'all were. Redial hadn't even come in just yet. That came a little bit later. But then when it came the Star 69. Remember that? Star, what you said. Y'all hang up on me. I know it's you, Pookie. And then caller ID came upon. Well, what happened? A generation got tired. And when they got tired, something came out of their tiredness that brought about change. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Change is coming because you're tired. And out of this, something is going to work on your benefit, on your behalf. Yeah, watch it. Then, you remember that first cell phone that came out? The big one. No. It's the first one that came out was the big one that had to be a satchel. You remember that one? Well, yeah, the satchel, I said the one like this you carry with. The one in the car is when you're real rich. It was in the car. You never use it because nobody else had one. Nobody else had one but you. Like, who are you talking to? So I got slick one time with my dad. He had a van. He had a CB. So he got one of those headsets that had the handset that had, looked like a phone. It never worked. But, you know, and it began to evolve. Things began to change. Because we got tired of lugging that big old... Is that satchel like this? So I'm tired of carrying this big old thing. So then it went to that big old... You know that big cell phone like this? You couldn't put it in a pocket. You couldn't... Because it had that big old antenna like this. And then, you know, it was so obvious. People would put it in their back pocket and it'd be sticking out like... But I got a cell phone. And then when it would ring, real loud. And then, yeah, talk. Hello, yeah. So what's going on? Yeah, uh-huh. Wait, I hear you. Oh, wrong number. So it went from that. Do you remember the pagers? Well, I'll tell you what, everybody had a pager. Page me. And if it's an emergency, put 911. I'll call you back. That's when they used to have payphones. Remember payphones? Now you can't find them hardly anywhere. When a generation gets tired, they start putting their... They start thinking about how to make things different and things to change. It's okay to be tired. It's okay to be tired. Jesus was tired. He was tired. He was tired of some church folk. Jesus told the disciples, come, let's get away from the people and go over there. But here's the thing that was very interesting, that the disciples were yoked to Jesus. Why do you yoke yourself to Jesus? Because they called him the rabbi. What is a rabbi? Teacher. Now, is the teacher stronger or weaker than the student in knowledge? Stronger. So most teachers have a tenure that are more than what yours is, correct? Okay, because they're supposed to at least gone and learn some things to teach you. Here's the thing. And it's just very interesting. I was like, how do I let them know that we need to get yoked up where the Bible only tells us not to be unequally yoked? I said, Lord, I don't know where to go with this. He said, if you yoke a mature ox that has been plowing the same field year after year after year, that ox, yoke it with a younger one so that it would teach the younger the land and how to plow that land. Do you see that? But most people would say, don't put a younger one with or a weaker one with the stronger one, because the stronger one's going to pull it to the side. Not if it's been trained properly. Y'all going to miss that one. Y'all gonna miss that one. If you've been trained properly and you've understood what God is trying to get you to understand, then you can walk your path in the field that God has called you to be in. Hear me now. So that when you plow that field, you know the ins and out of the field. David, is there any danger over there in that playground area? How do you know? No. No. What is the danger? That one, yeah, the one that makes you go. The pothole. Why? Because you've experienced it before. Correct? Do you know where it's at? Well, how do you know where it's at? He's the one that stumbled on it. Been out there before. Miss Lisa, do you know where it's at? How do you know? Because you've been out there before. Richard, do you know where it's at? Okay, well, because you've never been out there, right? Okay, well, here's the thing. If you were to go with either one of those that have been out there in that field with the playground, guess what they're going to do? Tell you, don't go over there. Do you understand? Why? Because they're going to tell you what not to go to that's going to cause you to fall. It's good. I'll give my own shout out. Why? Because when you're yoked with someone that's experienced in the field that God has called you to plow in, the one that's younger can just follow suit and learn what needs to be learned about that field. And over the course of time, the younger gets stronger, wiser, and learns about the field. Ox are strong to plow, period. But each field is different. When an ox wants to go to another field to begin to plow, guess what? That farmer is going to say, it's going to put it with the strongest one to teach the younger one, the inexperienced one. You wonder why you're tired? It's because your strength is being built up so you can train up others when you're going through. Your season that you're in is not in vain. It's not. And every door that has been shut before you, it's not to get you upset and to make you quit. It's to make you understand why it's shut. Do you understand? Not every door that is shut is supposed to be opened. You can push, kick, you can put dynamite if you want to. I've gotten real close to dynamite in my car, but just saying. Some doors you just can't open. But he's trying to show you because he's going to equip you so you can equip another generation. And what has happened with the younger generation, they're tired of nobody teaching them. Oh, the younger generation will teach you everything about electronics. I have to ask my daughter about the iPhones. She just got hers. I've had mine. She's still teaching me. If I ask Josh, he just takes the phone and does it. I didn't learn nothing. How'd you do it? Ah, don't worry about it. Let me know and I'll do it for you. Okay. Okay. So watch. Watch this. Daddy. Baby, come here. How do you do this with the... I want to save my notes that I'm taking. And I was playing my game. Well, just do it real quick. Did you see? Goes back to the game. Daddy. Yeah. How do you put the text with the smiley face and those emojis? Really, Dad? Yeah, come show me. Do you see the cycle? The younger now is teaching the older. Now, it's good to get ingenuity and creativity from the younger. Here's what is still missing is the truth. The truth. Do you know why And I have wanted to do this so bad, just to be just kind of like out there. A drive-thru in our church building. I'm serious. We all go to McDonald's. We go through the Mama Margie's. We go to all these kind of drive-thrus because we want something quick and easy. I just want to put one there. Drive-thru service. And then let them go out and let the line just get real big. Ain't nobody ever came out to the drive-thru service because there ain't no such a thing. You know what I mean? And just have a big old menu. For prophecy, press 1. For healing, order number 2. For prayer, number 3. Supersize it. And then just have them press buttons that don't do nothing. And let the lines get long. And like, ooh, there's something going on at that church over there. Get all kinds of emails. I went through the drive-thru to get my word. There ain't no such thing. Get your butt in church. Wouldn't it be funny? That's just me. That's how I am. Can you imagine the other pastors? Now, why are you going to have a drive-thru service like that? Because you know that you need to spend time with the Lord. Exactly. So why? Oh, careful, Marnie. Careful. I was just about to go there. You only have a 30-minute service. Some of my meals come after about 45 minutes, and it's very good. Because chefs take their time when they prepare it, do they not? If you want to have your fast food, sometimes you get some byproducts in there that you don't want. Sometimes you get your orders all messed up. And sometimes you get things just thrown in there together that don't kind of go together. Oh, sometimes you get somebody else's order. Kind of like how when you want to rush God and you want to rush things, you get somebody else's prophetic word that has nothing to do with you, but you felt it was yours. You want to run with it, and guess what? You fall down and you blame everybody in the church, but it's because you didn't sit your butt still to learn about God. Y'all don't like me no more today. I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm just trying to tell you, we've got to reach a generation, but with the truth. We've got to get a generation that is yoked to Jesus to learn that Jesus is the way to teach you on how to evangelize to those people. When you're yoked to Jesus, he teaches you. He disciples you. He begins to teach you on how to love fervently. Not to love you, brother. I don't want to talk to you, but I love you. I love you in church, but I don't want to talk to you. That ain't no love. That's a, hey, bless you. Hey, here he comes again. Baby, hey, don't. Did he leave? Okay. Yeah, I got to pray for you right now. Okay, they're gone. Come on, let's go. There ain't no love. The generation that is coming up behind us, they want genuine love. They're tired of people saying, I love you, but they're not going to spend time with you. I love you, but they're not going to take the time to pray with them. Or they're not going to take the time to invest just to get to know them. That generation is tired of church as we know it. That's why you see the success of these big churches. And I've talked about it before. You don't see crosses. You see all kinds of screens and all this kind of stuff. Who are they reaching? A younger generation. A younger generation. But I believe an older generation can teach them the truth. And you can package it any way you want to, but truth is truth. And we have to be tired of where we're at. And tired of our circumstance, tired of our situation, our season. But God is going to be coming on a white horse. Watch this. You know what they call him in Revelations? Huh? What do they call him? Faithful and true. In other words, he's coming into your circumstance because he's faithful and he's true. If you're tired and you've gone through the seasons long enough, It's okay to be tired. It's okay to be tired because this is going to pass, and he's faithful and he's true to deliver you out of this circumstance, to bring you to a place. Jesus made them take a time out. He said it in his word by in Psalms 23. He said, "It maketh me to lie down." That's a time out. That's a time out. He made me. I didn't ask to be laid down. No, lay down. You ever seen little babies that don't want to lay down? First thing they do is they turn around on their bellies and they get up on their knees and they want to push themselves up. God's trying to get you to rest. Time out. It's okay. Time out. Time out. We're going to take a time out. We're going to regroup. We're going to regroup. We're going to get refreshed. We're going to get different strategy for this opponent that is facing us right now. And it's okay to take a time out to get just recollect your thoughts. Get a better understanding of what you're going through and why you're going through it. It's okay to take a time out. When you take a time out, rest in him. Yoke to him, not against him. Matter of fact, don't run away from him because you took too many times out. Take a time out. Recollect your thoughts. Let him give you strategies. Rest in him. And watch what he'll do concerning your season. When you're tired, take a time out. Take a time out. Isn't it strange that Popovich sat down his three main starters at the beginning of the season when they were playing this opponent they're playing right now? Because he wanted to rest them. And he didn't lie and say, they're injured. No, I just want to rest them. I don't want to play them. And he got fined. But here we are now in this season. You know what I'm saying? In this season, to prove that the rest then gave strategy for now. Understand? That's a good stuff right there. We got to take a time out, and it's okay. Amen? Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Daddy, you're good. You're good. You're good. That's good. Father, I just thank you for each and every individual that is here today. I thank you for the family that is represented because of them. I thank you for their extended family. I thank you for their neighbors. I thank you for those in the area of their influence. Because they're in your presence. Because they're in your presence and they're yoked to you, God, learning the way of the field. Lord, that you're yoking them to the higher power that is already in them, which is you, the Holy Spirit of God. I thank you for strategy. I thank you for restoration in the body and in the mind. I thank you for what you're doing, God. We may not see it now, but you have given us the mind of Christ that you shall reveal the truth. When Jacob rested, he placed his head on the rock. And when we can rest on our revelation knowledge of the kingdom, then we can rest assured that the kingdom of heaven is here at hand. God, I thank you for them, for each and every individual that has gone through their process. That today we can say this too shall pass. And God, we thank you for the restructuring, the restoring, re-energizing. And God, most of all, I thank you for redeeming them. Because eyes have been placed upon them. Words have been put on them. Lies have come against them. Jealousy. Hatred, and God, just the mere fact that they're trying to do good, evil is at their side. And God, I just pray right now a hedge of protection by the blood of the Lamb Jesus, from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, that the hedge of protection be over every dealing in their businesses and their everyday walk with you, God, in their children's lives, in their finances, Father, in the schools. I even thank you right now that even their vehicles are protected and guarded, Lord. that their house from the top to the bottom of the foundation, Lord, for even the attic and in the basements, Lord, even in the garage and even in every room and every closet, God. I thank you in advance, God, that you have restored, you have redeemed, and you are definitely the protector and the guardian of those whom you diligently love and seek after, God, we, your children. So, God, we thank you in advance. And tonight we say that this season is come to an end, for the timer has already rung, and we're coming out. We're coming out. God, I thank you for the time out to get restored. In Jesus' mighty name, and all of God's children said, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, you're good. You're good. You're good. What I want you to do is to take note, please, of your circumstance, and let's see what God will give you in your time out. Do you understand? God wants to show you something for you, how it can benefit you. In the seasons that we go through like this, there's times that we just get so frustrated and get so mad, we shut down. We quit. We try to escape. But God tries to show us, don't escape from me. Run to me. When you run to me, I will give you revelation of why you're in where you're at. He'll teach you. He'll teach you. He wants to give you so much more. So much. Maybe he's going to give you insight. Maybe he'll just give you another way. See, it may have started one way, and it didn't go the way you thought. But he'll give you another way. He'll give you another way. He'll make a change. He'll alter a course to get what's rightfully yours to you. To get what is rightfully yours to you. There's some things that I see. I see a walkway that has been going straight, but it's been kind of like this. It's not level. It hasn't been level for a while. It makes you stumble at times. And it's okay. It's okay. Speak no condemnation over you. I bind that off of your life. You're a woman of God, a woman of influence, and a woman of integrity. Understand that God is going to even out your walkway. Remove the stumbling blocks and even move it to the side so that you can walk on sure-footed ground. So that you can be sure that where you stand in your course right now is holy ground. It's holy ground for you. A shift, a transition. And there's one that's right there standing next to you that constantly is at your ear. Constantly. I'll silence that. And it'll be truth. It'll be love. No more hurts. No more heartaches. No more disappointments. Because you're tired. Because you're tired. You've asked, can he see what I see? Can he hear what I hear? How will it be? Nothing but the power of God. Be encouraged, beloved. Be encouraged. I will level out the path that I've ordained for your steps. I will smooth out the rough edges. But every word that proceeds out of his mouth will no longer be like daggers to bring you down. It will be uplifting, uplifting, even concerning what God has showed you to do that he doesn't want to agree with because it challenges him. Blessings into your life, child. Blessings. Peace and joy. Let your voice be heard. I see you muzzled. You've stopped the flow of your own prophetic. Let it flow. Your voice must be heard. Even in your song, let it be heard. Because out of it, the foundations of your prison walls will shake and the doors will open. The chains will fall off, not just on you, but those connected all around you. Because I have anointed and gifted you for such a time as this. I call you out of obscurity into the place of my light that will reveal who you are as a child of God, as a woman of God, as a woman of influence. Your season is ending as you know it. Take your next step and watch as God begins to put it into play for you. Wherever your place of worship is, beloved, let it be heard. Let it be heard. Because you'll begin to move the things in the heavenly that have come to stop you. I see door after door after door. You've opened and you run right into another. You've opened and run right into another. I'm tired of going through door after door and never getting in. Because I'm going to give you a way, a new way, for your destiny. You're blessed. Don't ever lose sight of that. You're blessed. You are blessed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can go pass me. You can pass me. See a bridge with two different ministries in this city. I see a bridge that is in this city with two different ministries that will connect to this house. I just see the bridge. I don't see the individuals, nor do I see the names. But I see a bridge. In this bridge, what I see is people going and coming like this. Oh, thank you, Jesus. On one side of the bridge is a river flowing. On the other side of the bridge, it's green pastures. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Both are healthy and both are needed. There's a bridge that is being done in the spirit connected to this house. That's been my prayer. That's been my prayer. And I don't know if it's any ministries that I've ever even thought of either, but I see it in the spirit. And we shall experience it and we shall walk it out. Amen? Amen. What I want you to do, if you have your tithe and envelopes, is right on there. This too shall pass. This too shall pass. Hallelujah. This too shall pass. God, I thank you that it's going to pass. And I thank you that you're faithful and true. I thank you, that, Lord, that you are there at our side, fighting the battle that we fight. And when we can't fight, we call a timeout, but you continue to fight. God, I thank you for that. I thank you for your faithfulness. And I thank you that your word is true. I thank you that what we have seen and experienced in this season of our life, Lord, that you reveal to us through revelation, knowledge, and illumination, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Where Jacob laid his head was called Luz, light. Light. Which is the revealing truth of God. And he later called it Bethel, the house of God. Lord, I just thank you that you reveal light to us, the light. Because in this dark time, God, you always show bright in our darkest hour. So, Father, we just thank you. As we give unto you, Lord, we give with a cheerful heart, with our tithe, our offering, our services unto you. God, we just thank you and we just trust you because you're faithful and you're true. You're faithful and you're true. Your word is true yesterday, today, and forever. So we thank you in advance for it, Lord. We thank you for the increase back into our lives. And whatever money can't buy, you can do. I thank you that we sow into supernatural miracles, Lord. Signs, wonders, and miracles back into their lives, God. I decree it in their life. I thank you for a shift, and I thank you for a break forth anointing that breaks down the opposition and brings our opportunity to us. So, God, we just thank you in advance. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children say amen. You may come and serve the Lord. I bless you in the name of the Lord. Be blessed. We'll see you on Sunday, Father's Day, and our anniversary service. Hallelujah. Thank you. We love you.
Fresh anointing. Somebody say, this is fresh. It's flowing my way. Right now, it's a season of power. Let the weak say,